The first verse of this chapter, there is raisin and pecan. And unfortunately for them, there come that point when God had contempt for them. And folks, when God has contempt for any people, it does not matter how carefully laid their plans may be or whatever ingenuity they think they have. The outcome will always be the same, as we read at the end of chapter 1, but could not prevail against it. Of course, there were people involved here who were scared. And there was, as you read through the verses there, a coming together, as there so often is among enemies of that which is right, and they seem to have so many differences. And yet when it comes to opposing something which is good or of God, they seem to be able to put them aside, at least in a degree that allows them to come together. And as you look on down through the verses here, you come to verse 4, where we read the words there in the middle, "Neither be faint-hearted." And in reading this passage during the week, this was a passage, a few words that spoke to my heart when I was reading the verse. Neither be faint-hearted. And the word faint-hearted there is a word which in the original it does mean to be timid. And we don't criticize people who are naturally timid. Some people are shy and very backward, and that is just life. Some are not, some are. But there's another meaning to the word faint-hearted here, and it means softness, in that something is pliable. And therefore, when it says here, neither be faint-hearted, there's a word from the Lord here saying not to be timid when you're relying on him or to fear, but don't be pliable. Don't be that which can be changed. When you think of pliable, and me or you folks, you think of vulnerable. And when people are getting together, or in our case today, it seems to be that on many occasions, all the powers of hell are combining to back the church into a corner, sometimes regarding many issues that are, and many things that are very dear to us. If you look at verse 2 there, it says, "And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim." And then it talks about the heart of the people being moved as trees in the wood are moved. If you've been down in the wood as I have, and there's a storm blowing, you know that even the biggest trees, they're swaying about. So the people were shaken with what was happening here. And this verse 4, I believe, is a great word from the Lord to the people here. And I want to draw your attention to it. And I'm trusting today that what I say will help you. I'm not singling anybody out and saying that you're faint-hearted, that you're timid. I'm not saying that you're pliable. But I'm saying that every single one of us could be. We could be. And here's a word from the Lord, neither be faint-hearted, a word for these people. I want you to notice, first of all, the direction given here. Do you see what it says there? He's to go to Ahaz and say, he's to say, take heed. The word take heed there, it actually carries the meaning of proceeding with caution. And yes, it is one of those passages. The more I looked at it, the more I thought, well, I could preach on that a few times. And there's a whole lot of different lines of thought we could go down. Proceeding here with caution. And that is so important for Christ's people. But it also carries the meaning where it says, take heed, to be alert. To be alert. Someone put something up the other day, and someone else showed it to me, about the world perishing and the church being asleep. Now, the church is not entirely asleep, but we know what they're getting at here. We want to be alert, and alert to the need of those around us. It also carries the meaning of being attentive. It's as though Isaiah come along here, and through what he has said, he has just brought a complete halt to everyone. and to everything. Ahaz, you see, was timid. Ahaz, on this occasion, he took no position. He took no position, and you and I have a position. We are the Lord's, and we want to live for him and to serve him. And what grieves God ought to grieve me. Somebody mentioned this morning in the prayer meeting the Lord's Day. Cafes will have plenty of people in them. Shops will be too busy as well. And plenty of other places you can go. And you and I, we want to be found in God's house because we're saved and we love him. And we want to honor him, and we want the world looking on to think, well, they don't go, they're here. And all of these issues are things are so important to us. But it says here, take heed. It means to be careful how you proceed. We're looking at the main point here is the direction given. Please read on. It says, and be quiet. And be quiet. Well, what does that mean? Sure, the Lord is always telling us to cry unto him. Well, it's not saying don't pray. Not for a minute. It's not saying don't pray. But it's a word here. The word, see where it says, be quiet. It actually is referring to one who has a morbid type of nervousness. Now, I want to explain what I mean by a morbid type of nervousness, like one who would dread every day coming. And I'm not criticizing anyone in this world, because there's plenty of people who go to sleep and they dread the next day coming. They can't fully explain to you why they dread it coming, but there's a relief and a contentment comes to their mind when they go to bed at night and they hate the thought of the next day. I'm not saying they want to die, but just with the anxiety and the stress and the pressure perhaps of the next day, they dread the next day coming, and it is a morbid nervousness. More than that, it is being unsettled. And we all know about that. But there's another meaning to it as well. It is the thought of always on the lookout for an escape. You ever feel like that? Love the Lord and you want to do what you can for him, but in your mind there's a battle going on and you're like a way of escape. You feel that, well, it feels, that's why when we go to bed at night, sometimes people maybe don't look forward to the next day so much, because the main meaning of the word be quiet there is, be quiet is one who is never infested. When we first went to England, we lived in Barmston village. You can look it up. The cliffs all fallen away into the sea. Some of the houses have as well, caravans. But in the house we lived in, it was 200 odd years old. There come a point when upstairs was totally infested with mice. You'd hear them racking about all night. I used to set traps, and then I fell down, well, I half fell down into the kitchen one day through the roof. The ceiling had been up for years, and you can imagine the state of the kitchen when my leg went down through the roof. But it was full of mice. It was very unpleasant. But the people came along, the specialists, and they put stuff up in the roof space, and the little mice that came along and they ate it, and it took quite a while, but they eventually all ate it, and then things went quiet. It wasn't infested anymore. So the meaning of be quiet is be not infested, and it could be possible that there's somebody listening somewhere, maybe in a difficult corner, or someone in the congregation, and you just feel you're with this morbid nervousness and dreading the next day and being unsettled and looking for a way of escape, you feel infested with all of that. Infested because it is there, it's there all the time. Frustrated. Maybe coming, you feel that there's chaos in our minds. Impossible to really go forward. Maybe there's a temptation knocking on the door. Maybe a feverish kind of activity time and time again. Now the word quiet, I could go on here, it means to be collected. And that means calm. It means calm. It also means freedom from boisterousness. And we could go on. So the direction given to these people with whom there seems to be a mounting campaign. Sometimes we feel like that too. not necessarily from people, but just from life. A mounting campaign here, the Lord sends a message, don't be faint-hearted, and in part of that, the direction he gives, be quiet. Be quiet. Don't be as one who is not infested. Over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says there, I was thinking of this verse when I looked at that passage, Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the reason I've turned you to this verse, folks, is that you see the word faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The word faith in the Bible is translated from various different words, and there's different meanings to it. On this occasion, it means faith on. Faith on. I live with faith on. And folks, that really is a tremendous help when we think of the direction given here to be quiet, because unless we are putting our faith in the Lord for help, we won't be quiet. We won't be quiet. The restlessness and always looking for a route out will be there, and it will continue. You think of Martha. I want to just mention what you know about Martha and her sister Mary. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. She was listening to his word. You see, her faith was being strengthened. But then we have Martha. Good person. Wasn't lazy. She was cumbered about with much serving. And the word cumbered there means to be overoccupied with something. Many, many housewives find themselves in that position. Some of them nearly all the time. Day job, full time. House job, full time. Maybe involved in the Lord's work as well. Over occupied, or to be distracted, it means the word cumber there. It's actually, it comes from a word encumbrance, which means a heavy burden. And here was Martha. She had this burden. And she was thought she was doing everything that she could. But then the Lord says that Mary had chosen a good part that would not be taken away from her. She was sitting at the Lord's feet. And it says there that she heard his word. And the word heard there means to hear as to be acting upon. She was listening intently to the word and saying, Lord, I hope there's a word for me here. And she was listening in order that in days to come, as far as her experience was concerned, there might be faith on. Faith on. And folks, that's what I need as well. Faith on. Over there in the Psalm, if I can just turn you to it, in Psalm 37. It says there in verse 23, the steps of a good man, or every stride of a good man, is ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The word upholdeth there is the Hebrew word samak. And you'll find it in various places. I will mention it just a little bit later on again, where it refers to the word meaning, hold down me up. And here this good man, it says that his steps are ordered or established. And that's what you and I want to be, our walk with the Lord to be established. They are made straight or established by the Lord. And the Lord delights in his way when he tries to live like that. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him. And when the Lord says there, hold thou me up, upholdeth him with his hand, the thought is too of leaning. You're leaning on him, and it's faith on. Because we are trusting in him. In fact, we can go back to where our text is this morning and just go over a few pages to Isaiah chapter 30. You see here in Isaiah chapter 30, and I'm going to look at verse 15 very briefly with you. I want to, by way of introducing the verse, just to say that rebelling against God's word and God's way, there's always a high price to pay. Sometimes there's always consequences for that. And very often those who are spoken of here in Isaiah chapter 30, they had made the huge mistake of turning from the Lord's direction. Remember our point this morning, the direction given. Well, these people had turned from it. Instead of going for a distance where they should have gone, that was to the Lord, they were continually running to the wrong place and trying to get a little bit of contentment or a little bit of, well, we're not so bad type of feeling there. And it didn't come their way. They were pressed in some ways, but they should have turned to the Lord. And then the Lord in his love and goodness comes along, and here's what he says. In verse 15 of Isaiah 30, in quietness, that's the same word, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. He doesn't say, I'm going to kick you out. You haven't been good enough. I'm going to discard you because you haven't been everything that you could have been. But he's saying here, listen, in quietness. Remember what we said about it, some details there. About being infested. Be not infested. Be not consumed with this kind of thought. I don't want the morning to come. I'm so unsettled. I'm always looking for some kind of direction, just away from almost everything. You think of the great Elijah. Few men like him in the Bible. And he showed faith that I could never show. Whenever he called them to put more water around the altar, such was his confidence in the Lord that the Lord would send the fire down. And the fire did, but there was such a turnaround in Elijah's life. And I've often been puzzled with it because it really was, but just because of a few words from one woman, Jezebel. And she said, you're going to be dead tomorrow. He wasn't afraid of dying. He wasn't a bit worried. But now, for some reason, he ran away. And if you read where he came down from the mountain, he outran Ahab into Jezreel. He was a good runner. Church historians, reliable ones, will even tell you. Very, very fast runner. It helped from the Lord to run at a tremendous speed. He ran out into the desert. It seemed to outrun Jezebel's fellow travelers and those who had been seeking him. And he found himself a way out and hiding in a little cave. And his temptation, you see, was to keep on running. And maybe yours is. Maybe your temptation is just to keep on running. To keep on being infested with these feelings. To keep on with this morbid feeling. And the joy of the Lord is something you remember back years ago. Again, there could be someone listening somewhere and you're in a lonely post. Don't have much fellowship. And that is just where you are at the present time. Remember these words. Remember what we read there in Isaiah 30. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Because Elijah, he kept on running. And he was a fast runner. He got out of the sight of Jezebel's people. He was a way out on his own. But he never got out of the sight of God. No matter how fast he ran, he didn't get out of the sight of God. And he didn't get away from God's care. And neither will you. Again, wherever you are and whoever you are, if you're feeling like keeping on running, you will not get out of God's sight because God loves you. Maybe you have a pretty dark experience at the moment. Maybe in the eyes of the world, well, it's not that dark, but to you it is. Well, you think of the disciples long ago on the boat and how they all thought they were going to be drowned. The boat was going to sink in the storm. And the Lord was not in their immediate presence physically. And they were in despair. And as far as they were concerned, he left them to themselves. And there could have been all kinds of doubts coming through them. It was in the third watch of the night, the very darkest part of their night. And the Bible says, he saw them. He saw them. He wasn't with them, but he saw them. And dear friend, he sees you. He sees you, and his direction to you is today. Maybe just as things were getting really stirred up here with this confederacy that was going to come against Ahaz and so on, the direction given was, be quiet. Be quiet. Take heed. And I trust that the Lord will enable all of us to do that, living in a world of turmoil. And again, we always, when we prepare messages, we trust that they're for everyone, but that they're for someone in particular. That you will just need to hear that what the Lord wants you to do is to just look to Him and lean on Him. We mentioned being upheld there. Because it's not here just the direction given. There is the definite assurance. Please look at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand. That was the plans of these people who were against them. Neither shall it come to pass. That really brings us to the leaning. You think of young Timothy. Timothy was much used of the Lord. He wasn't without his difficulties. He had problems with his health. But he really wanted to serve the Lord and to go the second mile for Him. Fear was something that in one occasion, for a while at least, was in his life. Fear was part of Timothy's experience. Plagued by, maybe, for a time. And I just want to say that sometimes you and I are plagued by it, and again, we're thinking of being infested here. But the definite assurance is that remember that thing that you're worrying about right now, it may never happen. And you may think you're way out on your own. The Lord hasn't lost sight of you. He has care that He cared for you when you were full of joy and enthusiasm. And that care hasn't changed at all for you. And we're as assured of His help today as ever we have been in our lives. I'll go back again to that word, as I said I would. The word samak, meaning hold down me up. Over in Psalm 119, in verse 117, it says, hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. Do you ever, in recent times, really think of that promise, that kind of promise from the Lord? When the Lord is holding you up, then you're safe there. Maybe that you have tried hard to concentrate on your life and to get things sorted out and to feel that you're on victory and you're almost trying to use willpower. Well, willpower is not what you need. There needs to be responsibility fulfilled. But willpower was not the answer. The answer is assistance from the Lord. Him coming along. Over there in the book of Leviticus, and it's chapter 8. See there in verse 14, they brought a bullock for the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bullock for a sin offering. And the word again there, laid their hands, is the word in the original samak. And the thought here is of completely relying on Him. I wonder if I was to go to any congregation, including this one, or to go to those who listen in sermon audio, and to say to people, would you put your hand up, please, if you've ever felt that, as far as you're concerned, you're a sinking ship? There'd be a lot of hands up, including mine. There'd be a lot of hands up. If you felt you're a sinking ship, well, the answer is to lean on Him. To lean on Him. It's a very simple word here from the Lord. It just says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. The Lord actually refers to those who are enemies as firebrands. Do you see that in verse 4? For the two tails of these smoking firebrands, we mentioned some time ago what a firebrand is, something that's half burned. And as far as the word here is concerned, it refers to that which is not really burning anymore. It's just smoking. You saw the fire there and you put a log in and it burns, but it's not burned out and you wish it would keep on burning, but it's just smoking now because maybe it's a bit damp. Well, the Lord's saying to these people, They've got themselves all stirred up and fired up to come against you. But in the eyes of the Lord, they're just smoking now. They're just smoking now. For the tales of these two smoking firebrands, and he goes on to tell all about it, about them, and says, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Full stop. That was the definite assurance that they received. And if you feel like you are that sinking ship, as any Christian can sometimes feel, remember, lean on him. Lean on his power. Cast yourself upon him. Tell him to give you a desire to pray. And in praying, and I plead the promises of God in prayer. Over in the Psalm number 23, we read there about, I've mentioned these before, I think some time ago, in the prayer meeting, we have the staff there. And the staff that the shepherd has in the Psalm 23, the shepherd's staff, it really is, it puts the shepherd in touch with the sheep when he gets them with the staff. See, the staff is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And not only does it put him in touch with the sheep, but he's able, with that staff, to draw the sheep closer to himself. And that's what the Lord does. That's what he does in our lives generally with the work of sanctification, which goes on and we hope is increasing and changing us and helping us to live like Christ. But he comes along whenever you feel you're a sinking ship, and he does in a special way. Does it in a special way, because you and I, remember this great Elijah. I would have felt very, very sorry for him if I was there. First of all, I felt like nobody compared to him, which would have been right. But then when he was sitting there saying, Lord, I've run now from miles as hard as I can go. I just want to die, even though I ran away from him. Apparently going to die. Mixed up mind. Wasn't in good shape. But the Lord came along, and when the Lord had finished talking with Elijah, the time came when the Lord said to him, go. Go. And he went. The Lord hadn't finished with him yet, and you and I can pray that the Lord hasn't finished with us yet. There was here the direction given, the quietness. There was the definite assurance. Remember here, we're looking at the faint-heartedness. But there was the devotedness that was required. Because if you look on down a little bit there, you will see that it says, where do we see which verse it is? Yes, verse 9. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Surely we believe what God says in his word. And we believe when we read about words like faith on and being upheld, we believe all of those things, but there is to be a devotedness in our hearts. We read earlier on in Isaiah chapter 30, and we read there about, and in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. The strength would be there if there was that quietness. Now, we mentioned the quietness and said that it was to do with not being one who was dreading each day, unsettled, casting themselves upon him every day. And that was what was required. I want to quickly turn just to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 36 says, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself of our servants when he seeth that their power is gone. See where it says there to repent? It doesn't mean the Lord has any sin to repent of. It means he will not maybe chastise us as we thought we deserved, probably did deserve. But it says that he will judge, or the word means avenge, or to come to the help of his people. But it also says when he sees that their power is gone. When he sees that their power is gone, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? Now, the important thing here is, folks, that there has to be that devotedness of heart. We have to want strength. We have to want the change
to come.
Yes, all the progress depends on the efficiency of God's grace. And none of us will deny that he is efficient, but we've got responsibility. Just like these people here. They were given responsibility. There needed to be that devotedness. Just look back, and we'll soon be finished at what it says there. Verse 10, moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Ahaz didn't at this point really want to know. He wanted to just, well, I'm not saying he wanted to continue with the faint-heartedness or the pliableness, the vulnerability, but seems strange words to me. But this passage in the Lord talking about a sign, he brings us to the answer for Ahaz in his day, and the answer for you and I, the answer for the church, the Free Presbyterian Church, the answer for the worldwide church. I was talking to somebody just the other day and was telling them how that when Cherith and I were in Amsterdam, down the main street, we met people who were giving out tracts, and the English version of that tract was, you couldn't fault it. They're doing their bit out there. Another day in Chester, a few years ago, we met these people in the middle of the street when the horse racing time was on. There's loads of people about there giving out tracts for the Lord, doing their bit for the Lord. And you and I, we're just a small part of God's work, but we want to do our bit. Want to do our bit. And here is the answer. Here is all that we need. Look at verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And this is Isaiah reading, remember. And shall call his name Emmanuel. Now we know Emmanuel means God with us. It's all you need. All you need. God with us, folks. And the time has gone by so quickly this morning, but it was a word that the Lord really used to speak to my heart. This word, neither be faint-hearted. That is a title this morning. Neither be faint-hearted. And I just recap a little bit on that. It refers to that with softness, being pliable, and then you're vulnerable. But it also carries the thought there of be quiet means not to be infested. Living in defeat. Not wanting to face the day. And settled, looking for a way of escape. And the Lord help us all to be those who are up and doing for him in these days. And there's the answer, verse 14. Keep looking to him. It's not willpower we need. Yes, we have to have a devotedness of heart, but working yourself into some kind of a frenzy is not the answer. It's looking to Christ. There's verse 14. God with us. Trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to your hearts this morning.